We all want some recognition because we think that's how I'm going to know I'm loved. That's how God's got to, I have to have something to define my life. I got to work for something. So the whole basis of works is how it makes us feel about ourselves. We might think, oh, I'm doing it for God, but are we really? What are we really doing things for? Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is like this. They ate from that tree, and here's another thing. You'd say, well, what's wrong with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Doesn't even God know good and evil? Isn't that the whole point of the Bible? So why is God going to put this against me as if that there's something wrong with it? Because here's the thing. When they ate from that tree, it was a tree of independence from God. And so it's a duality of trying to figure it out on our own instead of going to the source and depending on Him to let us know what's right and wrong. This morning we heard a really good message about the direction of the Holy Spirit. And see, if we lean on our own understanding, I have one question. Where is it going to get us? Why do you want to come to church tonight? Let me suggest to you, it's because you're tired of your own understanding. Let me suggest to you, it's because even if you're alive in Christ and you're a wire of God, sometimes the wire is going like this, hitting the water and going zzzz. Let me suggest it's because we need each other. Let me suggest it's because you'd be surprised at how when God insulates you and you can't do something you want to do, that later on you're glad. Did I say it right? It's a blessing in disguise when we're a little bit more constrained by the Holy Spirit. We learned that this morning. Paul couldn't go over here and he couldn't go over there, and he had to wait for the Spirit to lead him and where to go. And did you know that Paul, the great mighty Paul, didn't even go into ministry until the Lord said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas"? Wow. Isn't it good to know that the grace of God just doesn't cover me? It protects me. It goes before me. It goes around me. It cuts me off when I'm about to go somewhere I shouldn't go. When I'm driving down the road, I'm almost going to have an accident. And just that moment extra, that's His grace, so that I don't have one. Well, I think we can all look in our lives and see examples where, wow, God's grace was at work here and here and here. And for all eternity, God's going to be showing us how great His grace is, how great it was while we were on this earth. How much He was protecting us from our own decisions. You want some protection? Oh, protect me from the devil. Protect me from this clan over here that didn't get my upbringing. Protect me from this. How about this? Protect me from myself, Lord. Protect me from my decisions. And guess what? I've noticed something. God answers prayer. If you're worried about you, just pray what I prayed. Protect me from me, Lord. I have a feeling with your silence, there's a few people that are worried about themselves. Praise God. We don't have to worry anymore. Let me tell you why. He's got you. Just give everything to Him. I had a really strange thought tonight. The Lord said, go get a ticket anywhere, I think I'd go. It's taken the Lord a lot of years to get me to that point where I don't even care anymore. If He says, yeah, tonight's the night, get on that plane, I think I'd just go. I'd probably write to Angie afterwards. Hey, you want to come? The Lord's looking for us to surrender. You see, that's really what He's after. It's not actually what you do. It's the fact that you're willing just to do whatever He wants. Do you think the job's more important than the surrender to the job that He has for you? Do you think that if you can accomplish these things or get rid of those things in your life, that that's more important than the relationship He wants to beckon you to? He wants to beckon me and you and all of us to a relationship with Him. Well, I want to tell you this, the blood that covers us gets us in the doorway. But here's the crazy thing. It's not good enough to build a relationship on. You probably never heard a preacher say that. The blood of Christ was never intended to build your whole walk on. But I'll tell you what the blood of Christ does represent. It represents this, that just like Adam and Eve went their own way because the devil snared them into it, and the devil went his own way just before Adam and Eve did somewhere in the history. Jesus, when he came into this world, guess what he didn't do? Go his own way. You say, well, he's God. Of course he didn't go his own way. Well, if he's so God, then why did he pray in the garden, not my will, but yours be done? Of course he's God, but why did he pray that if he's God? There's a teaching in the Orthodox Church about the two wills of Christ, that Christ might have had a divine will and a human will. I'm not going to get into that because I don't even know. But for this is for sure, that that part of the Trinity was talking to the other part of the Trinity and was saying, Lord, not my will, but yours, Father, be done. You see, Jesus didn't enjoy the flogging and the ripping of his back open and his beard being pulled off his face. Jesus wasn't into pain for the sake of pain. But he bore it all for us. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweat drops. That was the grace of God, because somebody else did what you and I couldn't do. Somebody else gave his blood. But we don't realize is this. If we read John, let's see if I can find it, because I'm out of order. The judge is going to tell me I'm out of order. If we can go to John chapter 5, whatever that scripture is there, Gerson, and look that one up. Yes, here it is. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does also. Is there another one in John 5? Or 6, John 6, sorry. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What is the Lord trying to get into us tonight about his grace? I think maybe the main point is this. We are so used to eating from the old tree of independence that we're always constantly eating its fruit. Depression, loneliness, abandonment, grief, suicidal tendencies, sinful addictions. It's all part of the fruit. We can go down the list. Hatred, fits of wrath, thinking we're better than somebody else. There's two sides to the tree. One is horrible and the other one looks great. But it's all just as evil. And the evilness of this tree on both sides is because the source is as rotten. The source is, I don't want to serve God. I'll go my own way. Thank you very much. The source is, I won't lean on him. I'll lean on my own understanding. That's the tree. That's the tree. But here's the good news. That Jesus, when he came into this world, said, I can do nothing of myself, as you read, but his blood, when we drink his blood and eat his flesh, this morning we had a communion. What we're doing is we're partaking of blood of the man from Galilee who lived in total dependence on the Father. Now, when you drink that blood in, you are denying the act of sin that Adam and Eve committed. You are denying the act of sinfulness that you can do life on your own. and you're drinking in true food and true drink, which says, yes, Lord, as you live this life of dependence on the Father, I need to drink your blood and eat your flesh, that I also can live this life of dependence on the Father. I better depend on my Father as you depended on your Father. But hallelujah, it gets more exciting because you just didn't tell me to do it on my own. But what is Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 say? It says this about this new covenant of grace. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh. Oh, does anybody feel hard-hearted sometimes? I remember my friend got burned right in front of me when I was a kid, and I couldn't even cry. Sometimes we don't understand our hearts. We don't understand what it is that makes us the way we are. But God has come to take out my stony heart and put a heart of flesh in me so that I can love people. Praise God. He can even do it so that if somebody's going to come against me and do something against me, I can just step over that and say, I love you. You know, the Bible says we're to be overcomers. His grace can make me an overcomer. But you try to do it without the grace of God. Good luck. I hope I'm getting you hungry for something. It's called God's grace. I'm hope I'm getting you hungry for something because you need to know him better. So here's what it's like. The blood gets us in the doorway, but the grace that sanctifies us, it's us going further into the kingdom. And it's built on the cross, not the blood. Jesus gave that scripture. See, Jesus knew that the blood wasn't the way you build a relationship with him. So if you go to Matthew chapter 16, let's look at that one. Just remember this, though. He's given us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit within us. If you go to Matthew 6, if anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said this before he was crucified, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake. You know what, folks? If you're worried about what you're going to lose, stop worrying. Try something different tonight. Throw away your doubt. Throw away what you're hanging on to that's of this world and say, God, I'm willing to lose my life. Which life? The life lived from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where you think you're always right, where you've got it all figured out, where you believe what your parents told you no matter what. How about this? Jesus said, if you are not going to put me before your family and your parents, you're not worthy of me. Jesus just didn't speak hard words because he was a hard guy. He spoke hard words because we need it. I need it. His words are life-giving. His words are salvific. They save me. So here's what I'm going to get at right now. I'm going to put this in nice terms now. When we pick up our cross every day, I wish I almost had two people up here. Oh, well. I'm going to use this Bible will be, this is me, okay? I'm not the Bible, but. All right, there's me. And I come in, this is the kingdom up here. I step in the kingdom. Yes, there's the blood. I got covered by the blood. I get in the kingdom. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. So I just stay here. And then it's like, there's a cross. Well, there's a cross here. It's like, I like the blood. I don't need a cross. Thank you, Lord. I like the blessings of the blood. I like being forgiven, just doing what I like, and then I'll get forgiven and pick up your cross. Yeah, well. Then a little time passes and you're like, maybe I should pick my cross up because I ain't doing so good over here. And then you almost feel like you're leaving the stage. So then finally it's like, okay, I pick up my cross and I walk over here. And guess who's sitting over here? It's my best friend. His name is Jesus. And I didn't realize all that time that I thought it was the blood. I thought that was it. I didn't realize all that time that I need to get close to Him. That He saved me with the blood for a purpose, to know Him over here as my best friend.